The day is finally near. We're talking about the June primaries in Virginia. Tomorrow, voters will head to the polls to cast their ballot for who they want to fill one open seat in the Senate and all 11 House of Representatives seats. To find your local voter registrar's office, you can head to our website, then click on links in the news. You're going to want to look for Virginia Local Voter Registration Lookup. Polls open at 6 tomorrow morning, and coming up on 13 News Now at 4, we'll share how local precincts are preparing for the big day.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Well, why am I talking about Virginia? Because Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, affects all of us. It is a great state. It has been for centuries, since the founding of this country. As I'm rereading the story of John Adams and his wife, which I'm enjoying so much, I am rediscovering the importance of Virginia in the early colonies, their influence. They were the largest. And so right now, Virginia is being affected by politics in Washington, D.C., because Virginia is just, you know, that state that touches the district. Maryland touches it to the northeast, Virginia to the south. So Virginia has become much more, it used to be very bright red, now it's much more purple because there are a lot of staffers that, and government, the huge government workers appointed by leftist, I would say, presidents, has changed the nature of Virginia. Yet it's a battleground, and so there are elections coming up. As I speak to you, it's going to be tomorrow, but that so this is June the 17th. I don't want to confuse you because it's a podcast, but it's Tuesday, June 18th, no matter when you're listening to this, that the primary is taking place. And there's a lot of people running for Senate. There's five, I think, Republicans running for Senate. There's some very key House races. And so it's a pretty interesting story, and we have a wonderful guest. So I hope you'll stay tuned so you can get kind of up to date on what's going on there, because, again, what happens in Virginia, it reflects what happens around the country. Did you know that abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year? Despite the overturn of Roe versus Wade, it's just growing. In fact, you know, we are going to be talking this week about the French abortion pill and the Supreme Court's decision to let it remain legal, at least for now. And we're finding out that something like 66% of abortions come through the pill. So abortions are becoming, you know, really accessible. You can get this little pill by just, you know, doing telemedicine. You don't have to go through a doctor. It really is a complete disaster. And women are finding that out. I'll save all of the details of that for the discussion we're going to have this week with Father Frank Pavone. But let me just say that abortion is still the problem that it was when Roe versus Wade was in place. And in fact, in many ways, the left, the people that love, love, love abortion, are gaining ground. And so that's why Preborn has become even a more important organization to support, because they provide ultrasounds to the moms. They bypass laws. It doesn't matter about law. They go for the mother's heart. They appeal to the mothers by showing them pictures of the baby in their womb. And it does miracles. It does miracles because most women decide to keep their baby. If you would like to help Preborn, and I hope you will, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you know you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. I think you know that. And you probably know by now that you can call us. Sorry for my page noises. I sound like Rush Limbaugh, remember? You can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. And leave us a message, and we'll respond on the air to your messages as best we can. You can write me at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. You can go to sandyrios.com and listen to the podcast very easily. Or you can go to our home base, which is afr.net. You can go to any podcast platform and listen, and we'd be happy for you to do that. Plus, of course, you can follow us on social media, and that would be Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and others, Truth Social. We try to be everywhere as best we can. All right, this is an important show, and it's interesting. So stay tuned for this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness.
that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
All eyes are on the close Republican primary race for Virginia's 5th District congressional seat. 10th District State Senator John McGuire challenging incumbent Bob Good. UVA Center for Politics says there are a few reasons for such a tight race. One being Good's responsibility in ousting former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. Another is Good publicly backing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis before former President Donald Trump in the presidential election.
Even though this would be Good's third term in Congress, this is only the first time he's had to run in a primary. He's won his past two races in conventions. So this is kind of new for him. And he has a strong opponent, or at least a serious opponent.
The Republican primary election is June 18th.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, there's a big election in the grand state of Virginia, which is close to my heart because I lived there for so many years working in Washington, D.C. Lots of friends there, lots of people. And also, it's important to all of us because Virginia is kind of a nerve center. So much of staff and senators, congressmen between Virginia and Maryland and the district itself, that is the nerve center of this country. And what happens in Virginia matters a great deal and affects the country in many, many ways, some good and some bad. For many years, Virginia was a very red state, a reliable state, but the politics in Washington changed so that staffers and members, you know, what happens there, it morphs every 4 years, depending on who's elected president and who has control of the House and the Senate. So gradually it's become more and more and more to the left. So that Virginia turned purple on us a few years ago. And now, given that this election is coming up, as I'm speaking, it's going to be on June the 18th. So I'm sorry, I'm stumbling a little bit because I have to remember you're not necessarily listening in real time. But it's happening in the next 24 hours as I speak to you. And I've asked Patty Lyman, who is the RNC National Committee Woman from the state of Virginia, who's watching all of this, to join me this morning. Patty, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Sandy. I'm very, very happy to be with you. Have followed and admired your work for many years, and it's wonderful to finally connect.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. I want to ask, people don't really necessarily know, you know, the nuts and bolts of politics, and yet they're important. I've never been involved in the party itself, the Republican Party, but I've supported it. All the candidates I support, except for one in my history, has been a Republican because of their positions. But you are firmly fixed in this, and so are many other of my good conservative friends. What does it mean to be a national committee woman? What does that mean?
I am happy to answer that. What's kind of interesting is that I'm gonna go back to 1994 to the Ollie North for Senate campaign, which I know you remember, and I was volunteering full time for that, and we nominated Ollie to be our U.S. Senate candidate, and he had a very good chance to win, but the RPV, John Warner, the Muckety Mucks, the establishment, they decided they would rather give 6 more years to Chuck Robb than to support a conservative like Ollie North that they could not control. So that's what they did. And at that point, I walked away from the organized Republican Party. I continued voting Republican. I was a conservative activist. I worked for Jay Sekulow at the ACLJ doing pro-life litigation. I worked on the Bush v. Gore, doing media on the constitutional issues going on in 2000 on that. But the organized party drove me away when they didn't stand by our nominee, until a force of nature named Donald Trump brought me back into the party in the end of 2015. That is when I got very actively involved in the party. And, you know, we have huge elections every year in Virginia, so I was very involved. And 4 years after coming back, I was the national committee woman. And I'll explain what that title means, There are 168 members of the Republican National Committee, the National Party, 168 voting members, three from every state and territory, territories like Guam, Puerto Rico, District of Columbia. And each state has their party chair, which in Virginia is Rich Anderson, their national committee men, who we are blessed to have, the legend, the man, Morton Blackwell, Mr. Conservative, is our national committee man, and I'm the national committee woman. And, you know, we have a seat on our state committee, but Morton and I, we are not involved in running the party in Virginia. We represent Virginia Republicans to the national party. And a big part of my role, Sandy, during the 4 years I've been there, and thank God I'm now starting my second four-year term, a big part of my role has been to act as a guard, if you will, to be one among other conservatives, to be sentinels on watch at the national party to make sure that our national party continues to stand for the things that made people want to vote Republican in the first place.
And speaking of that, I brought up Phyllis's name. Really, I wasn't thinking about this, but Phyllis, of course, is responsible. I think I give her the credit for that wonderful platform that Republicans have had now for several years, which embraces traditional marriage, celebrates the value of life. I'm not sure even what else, but it's the standard. It's the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's an attack now against that platform for this upcoming convention in Milwaukee, right?
Oh, there absolutely is. In fact, it's been going on for quite a while. About 2.5 years ago, no, wait, it was the end of 2021. It was longer than that. Ronna McDaniel announced out of the blue that the RNC was entering into a partnership, not a coalition, not an outreach, a partnership with the Log Cabin Republicans.
Oh, I remember that.
And again, I want everyone to vote Republican, but, you know, our party stands for certain things, and the Log Cabin Republican group was against major parts of our platform. I mean, to the point they ran, you know, many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars of ads against our marriage plank during the 2016 Republican convention. So Ronna has that announced. They announced it at a big event at Mar-a-Lago, and a partnership. I mean, you can't. I want outreach. What I want outreach to all, betrayal of none. When our base heard that Ronna was forming a new entity called RNC Pride, people went ballistic. I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails. Again, outreach to all, but we don't betray our base. Richard Nixon said decades ago, you cannot win an election with only your base, but you sure can't win it without your base. So when Ronna did that several years ago, we had a massive pushback. We actually passed a resolution making note of the fact that that had been done, that it had been ill-advised, that the base was very upset about it, and rightly so, and that we were reaffirming our commitment to our critical platform planks and with a particular eye to very important base constituency groups such as religious conservatives. And so there's been that push to move to the left at the top of the party for a long time, and a big part of what I've done the last 4 years, along with multiple other patriots on the, we kind of had to have our own little mini House Freedom Caucus within the RNC 168. our big focus has been, I've been at the center of efforts for over 2 years to remove Ronna McDaniel and to get new leadership in, and it took a long time, but finally we did.
Let me explain something, if I could. At least from my perspective, Patty, for people listening, after years in D.C. watching the whole issue of the LGBTQ movement develop and grow from not being accepted to being fully accepted and forced on most of us, this is the thing I observed. It's certainly true that gay people can be conservative in other areas. They can be conservative, and they are, you know, if we're going to have a litmus test for morality, you know, we'd have no adultery either. That's not going to work. But the whole thing about the gay community that I learned from staffers who were gay and then their true colors, I guess that would be an interesting way to put it, came out on these other legislative issues because their main goal was to bend everything to accepting the homosexual lifestyle. It wasn't that they, now there may be exceptions to this, but I saw them one after another, just not support other issues and throw them aside to advance their cause. And that, to me, is the problem. It isn't that no gay person can be a Republican or participate, but you have to be very careful because that is really and truly, I could tell you name after name.
I want everyone to vote Republican. Republican policies work for everybody. Every time that they're tried, they work for everyone. I mean, we have had pro-abortion people that are Republicans, that are faithful Republicans, that vote Republican, okay? You know why? Because having unlimited abortion on demand is not their number one voting issue. They see other issues as more important. I'm perfectly glad to have pro-abortion people voting Republican. So that's all the more reason why would we change our position on that issue? If that's someone's number one voting issue, they've got to have unlimited abortion on demand. They're going to vote Democrat. If that's their number one voting issue, that's where they're going to be. They're not going to come over to us because we're going to be Democrat light. But we have so many other things that are critical to people's day-to-day lives on which we have magnificent policies, and that's what we have to focus on.
Yes, it's very distracting, and as I just described, I think the purpose of this, a lot of staffers that I saw, as things began to change, it started with the Bush administration, they wanted to bend the party to their will, and so that's the difference, and what you said is a very good distinction. Why should we change our position? They can be part of us, but don't bend us to that way. Don't make us accept that way, and that means traditional marriage. Traditional marriage is what the Republican Party platform embraces, and that's one of the battles.
Let me tell you what they tried to do in California to the plot. Just give me a moment, Sandy. You'll find this interesting. They introduced a platform to the California Republican Party, and it said, here's what their pro-life plank was. We think there should be fewer abortions. We should provide more support to families. We should facilitate adoption. I mean, that was their whole pro-life plank, okay? Now, on marriage, they talked about various unions and families and relationships, didn't say one thing about traditional marriage or, you know, whether it was good for children or not or whatever. It just completely blanked out on that. And that's what they wanted to shove through in California. Well, I'm happy to say my friend Harmeet Dillon, the woman who should have been elected 2 years ago, RNC chair, Harmeet Dillon led the floor fight on that, and 2-1, that platform got defeated. But that was a canary in the coal mine for what I think they were wanting and are wanting to do at the national level. But I don't have any facts on that. I don't have any inside information on that.
Can you say, if you can, how many or like a percentage of RNC National Committee people who are really strong on the moral issues? Do you have an idea?
Yeah. I would say, let's put it this way. There's more now than there's ever been because last year we knew the people who turned their back on their grassroots and reelected Ronna McDaniel and endorsed her. And we, you know, recruited candidates all over the country, MAGA, America First, grassroots, middle-class type candidates to run against a lot of those people. Dozens of people who endorsed Ronna McDaniel last year against their own constituents, dozens of them are not coming back. I would say we're probably at the point of having not quite half, but getting close to half. I mean, probably in the 70 range at least. That's a guesstimate. But we are close, very, very close to getting a majority of people on the RNC who are not there to prove that they know better than everyone else, who are not there to get consulting contracts, who are not there to grift, but are there to really represent the people who elected them.
Okay, well, that's encouraging. And, of course, we'll watch that the Milwaukee convention is July. And so this will make news. But these are the kinds of things that happen. This is the kind of stuff that grassroots really can't do much about unless you're part of the party. But that's why we need to elect really good people. And Patty's a product of that. So that they can represent us and hold the line, because many of us will be working on that. All right, let's turn back to Virginia, which was our original conversation here. But, Patty, there is an election coming up June the 18th, and you have several seats in the House up. You have a governorship. You have a Senate seat up, or at least a competition for Senator Tim Kaine. So let's start with that. Let's start with the Senate, because that's kind of complicated, isn't it?
Well, it will be decided tomorrow. We had some strong candidates running. We have five on the ballot, and I don't endorse in primaries. I try to be neutral in primaries because it's going to be my responsibility to barnstorm across the state with whoever our Senate nominee is, and I want to be as credible as possible doing that. There is one exception. We'll talk about him in a minute. But in terms of the U.S. Senate candidates, President Trump has endorsed Hung Cao. I was extremely supportive of Captain Cao when he ran for Congress in 2022 in a very, very tough district. And so it, from what I'm hearing about the polling, it's looking like he has a very, very good chance to get that nomination. He is a strong conservative. He absolutely is. And in fact, most of the candidates on the ballot are actually genuine conservatives, most of them, not all, but most. And so we had an embarrassment of riches from that standpoint. I expect he will get the nomination. He has laid a lot of, he got in the race kind of late, but he had laid an awful lot of groundwork, raising money, raising money all over the country. He's very strong financially. His story is amazing. He came here as a child, as a refugee from Vietnam, and went on to go to the Naval Academy to get a fellowship from Harvard. I mean, he's impeccably educated. He was in special forces at very, very high levels in the United States Navy for many, many years. I mean, he's a stellar individual, very strong Christian, beautiful family. He has five children, and I think he could. What he has that I think is very powerful, Sandy, is he has what I call the eye of the tiger. He has guts. He has the ability to go after Tim Kaine on the disastrous policies that he has perpetrated on the people of Virginia. And I'm one of these people, you know, if you're not ready to, politically speaking, if somebody's not ready to tear Tim Kaine's face off politically 24/7, then they need to get back on the porch because they're not ready to run with the big dogs. Hung Cao is ready to run with the big dogs.
Oh, interesting. The only person I know is Scott Parkinson, who is also, you know, a very conservative, great guy, too.
In fact, I've gone to events. Every candidate that invites me to an event, I go to the events. Scott, I love. Scott is a stellar, stellar, quality man.
Yeah, I think so, too. One of these guys looks like Johnny Mathis. I'm trying to figure out what his name is. Sorry, maybe it's Nick. Nick Minook. Anyway,
no,
it doesn't matter.
Oh, Chuck. Is it Chuck Smith?
Oh, it could be. I can't. The names are not listed
Chuck.
With their picture. Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay, I'm going to tell. Chuck's a good friend of mine. I adore him as well. Great conservative patriot. I'm going to tell him you think he looks like Johnny Mathis.
He
I
does.
He'll like that.
Yeah, he should. He should really like that. All right, so what are the chances of beating Tim Kaine in Virginia?
You know what? This is a year like no other year, Sandy. I'm not going to put any numbers on it at all. If we beat the Bushes here, and especially if we beat the Bushes for President Trump, the people in Virginia have suffered tremendously in recent years, not just under the Biden tyranny, but what we went through with COVID under Ralph Northam here was horrible. It has changed people. They have suffered in ways they never dreamt of suffering before. and now they are going to, and I think we have been able to get it across to them that the reason that they've suffered is because Democrats were in charge. And there's not one thing that Biden has done or Northam did that Tim Kaine didn't exactly go along with. And people are having a hard time. You know, as pathetic as we can be sometimes as a party, and we can talk about that, Sandy, do you know that the Republican Party is the only thing standing in between our friends and neighbors and the Democrats who have proven for decades that they're hell-bent on destroying the lives of regular working people? We're it. We're the thin red line. And if we get out there and we show that, we can defeat Tim Kaine, because Tim Kaine has done nothing good for the vast majority of people in Virginia. You know, when I ran in 2020, the leaders of our state were running around calling us a blue state. And I got so sick of it, because at the same time they were doing that, Sandy, I was seeing 30 to 50,000 Virginians going to Richmond to fight for their gun rights. Okay, you know where that doesn't happen? That doesn't happen in a blue state. So my campaign slogan was, the real Virginia is red. The nature and character of our state is that we are a red state with some highly, highly populated pockets, population pockets, of people that are government employees, union members, various other demographics. But the nature and character of Virginia is that we're a red state. And that is no more true in any district than it is in the 5th District of Virginia, probably the most historically significant congressional district in the country, having been held by Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. And that is where Bob Good, our Freedom Caucus chairman and champion, is being challenged. Frankly, he's being challenged by the corrupt, failed ex-speaker, Kevin McCarthy, who's pouring millions into a primary challenge of Bob Good to get back at Bob Good for holding Kevin McCarthy accountable for betraying the voters and giving Joe Biden everything he wanted. That is what the race is about.
So there's a big division. This is not, you know, news to me, because that's an area I'm very familiar with. I talked with Bob last week. John McGuire has challenged him, and John has his own great story, and it's very disappointing to me that he would challenge Bob, because one person's going to get knocked out. And the other thing that's curious about this to me, and a red flag besides Kevin McCarthy, Mike Rogers is endorsing McGuire, as is Austin Scott. These are bad Republicans, really. Mike Rogers
is the worst Republicans. The worst Republicans are endorsing John McGuire, except President Trump. I'm at 10,000% with President Trump, and there's lots of factors that went into that endorsement, many of which don't have anything to do with President Trump. But most everyone else endorsing John McGuire has proven themselves to be not a friend of MAGA, not a friend of the middle class, not a friend of America First.
Well, of course, there are lots of wonderful people in that area in Richmond who are supporting, who are not. Don't follow that category. They do love the country, but there's been a lot of confusion there. And it's really, really unfortunate. And, you know, Warren Davidson, who's part of the Freedom Caucus, just as we're speaking, just endorsed John McGuire. And the interesting thing is, though, Warren there's a lot of good things to say about him, but he also supported Kevin McCarthy. That's has to be noticed, that he supported Kevin McCarthy for speaking.
There it is. And you know what that tells me? The fact that they're, you know, Warren Davidson, who no one's ever heard, most people have never heard of, okay? He's trying to get his 15 minutes of fame now. You know what that tells me? The other 39 members of the House Freedom Caucus want Bob to stay.
Well, they do. I mean, that's true.
I'm a lawyer, so maybe I'm not that good at math, but I can figure that out. There are very, very few decent individuals, very few, who are supporting John McGuire. And I'm telling you right now, John McGuire spoke to me long, long, long before Bob ever endorsed Ron DeSantis. John McGuire spoke to me about plans to run against Bob. I mean, months before that. He didn't decide to do this because Bob endorsed DeSantis. And frankly, John was still, up until the moment he got elected in November 2023, he was telling his tens of thousands of state Senate seat constituents that he was going to serve all 4 years of his Senate term. Within a week, he's announced the campaign. And that's 6 months after Bob endorsed DeSantis. So the whole premise of the campaign is based on what I have personally observed. The whole premise is false. This is the reason this challenge is taking place. Kevin McCarthy is mad because it was Bob Good who led the way to make Kevin McCarthy go through 15 rounds to get elected speaker and to require him to make certain promises in order to get the votes he needed to become the speaker. Then he broke promise after promise, but this is Kevin McCarthy. He is taking his revenge against Bob for Bob having held him accountable. And it wasn't very long before a lot of money was getting dangled in front of John McGuire, as well as other people who were challenging Eli Crane, Andy Ogles, various other members of the Freedom Caucus. This is all about Kevin McCarthy's revenge. It doesn't have anything to do with Ron DeSantis.
Yes, well, I concur with that. And there have been challenges in every race. There's a couple of the five that are, you know, blamed or given credit for removing Kevin McCarthy. They're champions to me. And so they're all being challenged by McCarthy pick candidates. Yeah, so that needs to be made clear. I think I have said that on the air here, and I'll repeat that. So there are any other notable House seat that you want to mention?
There's a pretty tight race going on in the 7th district, which is the one that Abigail Spanberger
Dave
is
Brett.
Vacating because, it used to be Dave Brett's seat.
Yes, right.
Abigail Spanberger is vacating it because she's going to run for governor, obviously, as a Democrat. So it's looking like the two people most competing for that nomination is a guy named Derek Anderson and another guy named Cameron Hamilton. Cameron Hamilton is the person being endorsed by the most reliable, trusted conservatives in Virginia. Derek Anderson he's got endorsements as well. He has, you know, a pretty big amount of money, but he's a complete McCarthy guy. He's Kevin McCarthy all the way. And so that's what we have in the 7th district. And it's going to be an open seat. Oh, and the person running as the Democrat for that seat is that guy, Eugene Vindman, the twin brother of that Alexander Vindman that got up there and lied about President Trump and did all this horrible stuff.
Oh, but so he'll get Democratic votes out with enthusiasm. So, wow, that's very interesting. And I didn't know the seat that Bob holds was Thomas Jefferson's seat. That's news to me. I want to say,
and I believe James Madison as well. Yes,
you know, I have to say, I found my soulmates in Virginia because Virginia people in Virginia still care so much about what's happening in the country. And the further you get from Virginia and the D.C. area, the more yawns you have about what really happens, and people forget how important this is. And I just, hats off, Virginia is just right in the thick of it. The women of Virginia are so, I don't usually talk about women's issues, but man, are they an example to women everywhere. Smart, capable, and really very concerned about their country. Last but not least, we've got the governor's race. I don't really know, Abigail Spanberger, who one beat Dave Brat in Virginia 7 and has been serving that seat. Now she's going to run for governor, as you said. But who else is running? I mean, can Youngkin run again, or is he term limited?
No. Well, he cannot. Governors cannot have sequential terms.
Okay.
They can have another term later, as Terry McAuliffe tried to do in 2021. So no, he cannot run again. There's lots of talk that both Winston Sears, our lieutenant governor, and Attorney General Jason Meares will run for governor, which, you know, is not a surprise. I mean, especially where Jason is concerned, it's been very clear from the beginning that that's what he wanted to do. And quite often, attorneys general in Virginia do run for governor. It's not unusual at all. I'm hearing that Amanda Chase may run for governor. She ran in 2021. I'm hearing that. I'm not sure, though. Next year will be it'll be a very big year, but it would be it really would be bad form for people planning to run for governor to be even talking about that or focusing on it until after the November elections.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not that. Just to be clear, that's not an issue for June 18th primary.
No. We are one of two states, Sandy, in the whole country. We have huge elections every single year.
That's why you're so involved. That's why everybody's so informed.
Every year, we have, but that's okay. And you know, I'll piggyback on what you said. We are a special state. What happens in Virginia affects the rest of the country, and it has for 400 years. I meet lots of people in my work at the RNC. I travel all around the country. And my colleagues, they love their states. They represent them well. I'm sure that they're nice places, but none of them are Virginia. When I tell someone I'm from Virginia, I see in their eyes there's a flicker of recognition. There's a respect. There's an acknowledgement of how unique and storied our Commonwealth is, and I'm very proud of that.
And you should be. You should be, Patty. We loved being Virginians the time that we were able to be that, about 10 years. But so, Patty, go forth and do your good work. Patty Lyman, again, RNC National Committee Woman for Virginia. And we look forward to catching up with you later. I wish you all the best in Milwaukee. I hope that God restrains the wickedness there and that something really good happens for the country. That'll be my prayer.
Well, I'm going to have my eyes wide open there, Sandy, believe me.
I believe you. I really do believe you, Patty. So go forth, and thank you so much for making time for us today. I really appreciate it. This is Sandy Rios.
Thank you. Happy anytime.
Okay, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, you know, abortion telehealth has become increasingly available, and that's where it partners with the French abortion pill, Mifepristone, and makes abortion available for so many women and girls. And they say there's a limit of 10 weeks, but there's no way to check that out. Girls don't even have to go to a doctor to get this pill. So between telehealth and the pill, abortion is becoming even more accessible, which is a nightmare for babies and, trust me, a nightmare for women. And that's where preborn comes in, because preborn appeals directly to the women. It's not a matter of, you know, whether pills are legal or not, whether abortion is legal or not at a clinic. It's no debates about that. It's just, all right, so let's just look at this, what's inside of you. Let's have a look and then see what you think. And moms, when they see their babies in their wombs, they usually can see, you know, sometimes facial features, often the gender of the baby. They just decide, I can't do this. I want that baby, or I want someone to have it. I want it to live. And so that's why preborn is so powerful and so effective. If you would like to help them by supplying these ultrasounds, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Mac WFXR News is your local election headquarters. We're just one day away from the primary in Virginia. Polls will open across the Commonwealth at 6 a.m., running until about 7 p.m. Tuesday. A reminder, today's the last day to vote early at your registrar's office. Election officials say that you will need an ID to vote. If you're not registered, you can register the day of. And we're now just 10 days away from the first presidential debate of the election season. President Joe Biden, former President Donald Trump, set to square off, and we're learning new details about the debate. WFXR's Emily Finn has more on what this first debate might look like.
I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
But you
I just
agree.
Want to
you
make
to
sure.
Tell you the liar.
I want to make sure.
You graduated last in your class, not first in your class.
Muted mics, no props, and two commercial breaks. The debate rules have been confirmed for the first 2024 presidential debate between President Biden and former President Trump. The debate's host network, CNN, releasing more details on the rules Sunday and announcing both candidates have accepted the terms of the format. Campaign staff is not allowed to interact with either Biden or Trump during the showdown, and there will not be a studio audience. Both candidates' teams say the presidential hopefuls will have limited time to prepare for the debate, as they have been hitting the campaign trail hard recently. Biden kicking off a fundraising tour in Los Angeles this weekend, raking in a record-breaking $30 million with the help of former President Barack Obama and a cast of stars.
I think we are all wondering, what can we do about this?
Elect me. Again.
Trump courting voters at events in Michigan, a crucial swing state he won in 2016, but lost to Biden in 2020.
Michigan was better off with Trump by a lot. You were doing great. Companies were moving back and the car companies weren't moving out.
Independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has not qualified to make it on the debate stage, but with just 4 days to meet all the requirements, he does have a shot. His campaign claimed Friday they have enough signatures for ballot access in states with more than 270 electoral votes. But many of those states have not yet verified those signatures and may not get around to it until later this summer. RFK Jr.'s push to make it on the debate stage comes as a quarter of Americans say they do not have a favorable view of President Biden or former President Trump. According to the recent Pew Research Center poll, this marks the highest number of so-called double haters of both candidates at this stage of the election cycle since 2016.
All right, well, that cheerful report gives us some perspective on what's happening. You know, many of us think, and I guess I throw my hat in as one of those, that I'm not even sure Joe Biden will do that debate. I'm really not. Because we've seen his performance on the national stage, the international stage at the G6 summit, wandering off, you know, this paratrooper. I don't know if you've seen that video, but it's pretty upsetting, really. This paratrooper comes down and lands before all of the world leaders. There's only six or seven. I'm sorry, I've lost track. But they're standing. It's Macron. It's the leader of Italy and, you know, all that, Germany and all of those major countries in the United States. And Joe Biden is on the far right. But as the guy lands, Joe Biden is like looking off into the distance, off to the left, and then he begins to wander away, just like wander away. And the world leaders are seen kind of looking toward him and not quite sure what they're supposed to be doing. And so the president of Italy actually walks across very gracefully, walks across and kind of smiling, and she grabs Joe Biden's arm and kind of brings him back into the fold. And then you see all the world leaders move over on camera so that they're behind Joe Biden. Now the whole camera shot is different than it was as they set it up initially. It's just it could be funny, but it also is just horrendous. How in the world did we get to this point? How in the world can China or North Korea, for that matter, or Russia or any of our enemies take us seriously? Or Iran? They can't. The truth is they can't, and we're in great danger. So back to the debate. I find myself wondering if Joe Biden will do that debate because he is failing so quickly. I don't know how in the world, in good conscience, that Jill Biden, J-I-L-L, can cooperate with this charade, this horrible, ridiculous charade where she holds on to him and pulls him back in and probably helps him. I'm sure he's taking medication. How could he survive without that? We all have elderly family members, and we know how it works. He's got to be taking something to enable him to even accomplish any kind of comprehensive answering. So I don't think he's going to make that debate. I'm just telling you, it's just my thought. I could be wrong. And I think that if he's not replaced by the debate, he certainly will be replaced before the Democratic convention. I just don't think there's any way Joe Biden's going to be the candidate. And I think that people that hope for that, and certainly it would be better for President Trump, better for the Republican Party if he could be the candidate, but I just don't think so. I don't think so. You see, the left has made such great strides. They've almost won the whole prize. And there's no way they're going to take any kind of chances on losing this presidential election. That's my personal opinion. Now, the other part of this is that we have a great and mighty God. And there are a lot of people in this country who love and serve him and who are praying for our country. Some who are on the front lines working so hard to try to pull this back. And so many of them are those of you who listen to me. So we have a God who can't be limited by practical considerations or by, you know, logic, human logic. And so my hope is in him. It's not in something happening physically. In terms of the events that are happening and unfolding, if I just think about in my flesh, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. But when I think about it in terms of God, no matter what happens, we trust him. He's going to still love and care for his people. And most of you listening to me are those people. But we may not have the country that we once had. It's possible. But while we can, it's like all the battles that the Israelis, the Jews, fought during the generations in the Old Testament. They had to fight to save their land, to preserve it, to fight off enemies. Well, that's where we are. We have enemies. We have enemies within. We have enemies in our capital, enemies in the White House. And so we have to fight. We don't just go, oh, well, it's a good thing that our founding fathers didn't say that when they nearly lost to the British so many times, isn't it? It's a good thing they didn't shrug and go, oh, well. But they didn't do that because they had fortitude and stamina and vision and great faith. And so that's what we need. I just pray that each of us can reach down deep and put that extra measure in whatever it is that you can do between now and the presidential election. And for those of you in Virginia, pray and then make your choice about who you support should support in these polls and in this voting. And God willing, we will continue to have a land where there's peace, where our children can go to school in safety, where our babies are not killed indiscriminately, where we have freedom to speak, where we have freedom to drive our cars and not be restrained, where we can actually heat and cool our homes. You know, that's not a silly thing. God created Eden, which was a paradise, perfect temperatures. He didn't He didn't create a situation where they would get hot and cold. They were in a perfect environment. That's how loving God is. So it's not wrong to have enjoyed the wonderful gift we've had by living in this country and in this time, as long as this isn't our God, and as long as it doesn't keep us from doing something that might risk losing it. So that's my comment on the election, which is coming up. As I speak to you, it's tomorrow, but it's June the 18th. So I pray that in Virginia, you'll do what you know is right, whatever that is, in the races that you're voting in, and also that you will continue to work for all the other races. And remember that you can work for candidates in other states. You can donate to them, as a matter of fact, too. You're free to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're in a state where you have a really bad senator or you bad governance and you've just given up, well, go to a different state. I don't mean physically, though you could do that, too. But you can support other candidates in other states because they all are representing us in the Capitol. And so it would be great if you had a senator from your state or a congressman you could trust. But if you can't, help others, okay? So that's my big admonition for today. I want to thank our new sponsor, Timothy Plan. Thank you so much. You can put your money where your values are and discover how to be biblically responsible as an investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, I want you to know that you can call us, as always, at 662-821-2040. You can write to me at sandy@afr.net. I really do enjoy your email. I hope you will do that. You can find us on social media. You can find us on all podcast platforms, including afr.net. That's our home base, American Family Radio. Or you can go to sandyrios.com and listen pretty easily to the podcast if you're not familiar with all those other things. Well, can I thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.